So this man, he had great wealth. And this man sat and he thought of himself. And you know, I often sit here and I find it very humorous that this man was completely communicating with himself, talking to himself, counseling with himself, and coming up with all the wrong answers. Mm. And young people, that's what happens in this world. And I dare say that the things that are placed in your mind, though, those things come from the enemy himself. For he attacks the mind. The Word of God says that it is his job, his work, his desire to blind the minds of men that they see not the glorious gospel. And you might be sitting here this evening, dear friends, and the Spirit of God is saying, boy, you know, we've had a long day. Here they go again. And in your mind, you might be saying that. And you might be saying, my body is tired. Oh, I've had enough of this. Oh, it's so that you don't see the glorious light of the gospel. This man said, what shall I do? I've got so much earthly things, so much aspirations. And he decided, as we know, that he was going to tear down what he had. And he was going to build greater. And I'd like to suggest that this is the way of man. Cain went out from the presence of God and he built a city. Cain said, as for me, no God. Cain said, I'm the master of my own ship. I'm in control of my own destiny. I know what I want to do with my life. And this man said virtually the same thing. I'm going to tear down my barns, for I have worked. It is the fruit of my labor. It is what I have developed and built. And I'm going to take this and I'm going to build greater barns. And it's there that I will store my goods. And then he said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And you know, this is the message that we see in the world today, young people. It is a message of self-indulgence. Just be satisfied. Just satisfy the flesh. Just eat all you want. Just drink all you can. Just be merry. Live and die. And you see this on every hand in every city in America. Men and women completely consumed with getting everything they can, with having their bank accounts filled, with satisfying every urge within their own souls, and leaving God completely out. So he said, eat, soul, take thy ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But it says, but God. And I want to tell you, young people, I often think of that phrase here as that moment when it says, God shut the door in the ark. You see, God will allow you to run so far and no further. This man, God gave him a number of years to do what he did. But there came a moment in God's timetable that God said, enough. And the Word of God here says, but God said unto him. We were talking today about how Gideon heard the voice of the Lord. I dare say it was a different voice. God was speaking to Gideon to give him direction, to use Gideon. And we've been saying to the young people, God wants to use you. But as Luke said, it is impossible for God to use you if you are outside of Christ. But here is the voice of God. It is a voice of judgment, young people. It is a voice, if you are outside of Christ, if you have never come to the Lord in a real and a personal way, if you've never confessed your sins, it is a voice of judgment. But God said unto him, thou fool. You know, I wouldn't call someone a fool. But God says here, thou fool. He says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It was at that moment, I believe, that this man recognized that all of his toil, everything that he had, all the energy that he had put in building castles and barns and in the lifestyle that he had, I believe he recognized in that narrow second that all was lost. What an awful feeling, young people, to roll ourselves forward some thousands of years and to recognize that you sat here at Spruce Lake 2.5 days. And you heard about the sacrifice that speaks of the Lord Jesus. You heard the burnt offering that he voluntarily laid down his life. That it was a sweet savor to God. When you heard about the sin offering that he took sin, our sins, in his own body. He bore our sins on the tree. That he stood in the sinner's place. That he executed, exhausted the wrath of a holy and a righteous God so that you would go free. And to know that you find yourself in hell. To know within yourself that you played the fool. That you sat there and you looked like, oh, someone that was saved. You might have even said the right words. But to know within your own heart that you were playing the fool. And to find that you are now in torment. Oh, what devastation. Can you imagine how you're going to feel to realize that you had the opportunity, that God in mercy was extending grace toward you, and yet to the God of Gideon, the God who brought down dew on that fleece, or to the God who answered Gideon's second request, you said, "For me, no God." It says that this man suffered total loss. For now, whose shall these possessions be that you have left? We read in Proverbs that God is speaking here. I'd like to connect it to what we just had, where the Spirit of God speaks of, this is the end of a man whose treasure is not laid up in heaven. God says, turn you at my reproof. He says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I like to think of this as the seeking God. The Word of God says that he is not willing that any should perish. Sometimes we like to think of God as only a God of judgment. God is holy. God is righteous. But God is a God of love. And young people, he is moving by his Spirit from seat to seat. And he knows where you are. He knows where your soul's state and condition is at this very moment. And he is saying through the Spirit, turn at my reproof. You see, the man who thought he had everything had nothing outside of Christ. That God said, tonight thy soul is required of thee. It said that man mistook his soul for his body, or his body for his soul. That he thought self-indulgent. That he thought souls, that his own satisfaction of the flesh was all that he needed to care for. And he forgot that he had an eternal soul. That God would require of that soul one night. And so he says to you, turn at my reproof. And I believe that is the turn of repentance. You see, it is first repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. You must first believe and agree with God that you are a sinner. You must agree that your sins took the Lord Jesus to Calvary's cross. And then it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, should you, my dear friend, not respond to his reproof, he says, because I have called and you have refused. He says, I've stretched out my hand and you've not regarded. He says, you've set at naught all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof. God says, I will laugh at your calamity.